very good evening to you, Eagle FM listeners. Welcome to
BS.
The business and economic segment. That is with me, Hileni Inane, and Madam. Ladies first.
And David Chombe.
Yes.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to be here. We are always very happy to be with you this time of the early evening. And yeah, welcome to Business and Economic Segment. Welcome to Lecture Hall 1. And that is, of course, a platform where we talk about business matters. We talk about policies. We talk about economic leadership. We also look at where the country is going. We look at, analyzing domestic and international affairs. We look at issues of money, finance, look at the financiers and those who are getting the money. And yeah, the aim of the program is to connect those who understand economic matters, who are willing, and those who are willing to learn, and just to make sure that, we come up with those, thought-provoking, questions, and also unlocking the innovative minds that can innovate, minds which can, think ahead. And yeah, just to upgrade our society, to upgrade our institution, and also to look at the direction where the country is going. Yeah, I think, before we are going to a commercial break, then we can, continue.
Statistics show that more than 12,000 road accidents were recorded in Namibia last year. Therefore, I believe zero is the only acceptable number of accidents on our roads this Easter. It is not impossible. Be responsible, do the right thing, and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM.
Now, welcome back. So like we do it here every other day, we come and we have conversations about what David had just mentioned, but we also have our beautiful services that we offer to you, the public, and especially business personnel and business owners and to their businesses. So you can always reach out to us for all your live streaming and live broadcasting work, so that we can live stream or live broadcast your event from wherever it is that you may need us to broadcast it from. It could be somewhere deep in a, in a farm somewhere, somewhere that everyone cannot get to, man. So it could be somewhere far. We can come live broadcast it on our Facebook platforms, live broadcast it on your Facebook platforms, and also have it as a live broadcast on air, which will enable a bigger number of people to listen, which also means your business is going out. And a business is not really a business without the marketing, without... Okay.
Yes.
So yeah, unless your business is visible, then you might have a problem there. Otherwise, you can also download our Eagle FM app, which will enable you to listen to all our broadcasts, which will enable you to listen to live broadcasts. It also enables you to listen to previous podcasts and to keep up with everything that is going on. Whether it's upcoming shows, previous shows, everything is put up on our Eagle FM app, and you can follow along. Also, news articles, everything happening in and around Namibia.
Yeah. No, it's
all right. You could follow us on all our social media platforms.
Yeah.
Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia. And yeah, that's how you keep yourself in touch with us, or you keep yourself updated with everything happening around.
Like we're always saying, after every deep conversation, after we unpack what we brought to you today, we always open the line for you to engage us in the studio. We always make sure that we give you an opportunity to give your input, to give your, your constructive criticism, to come up with questions, to come up with your critique, and also to come up with, clarification points, because at the end of the day, we always have one aim, which is to build our country, one aim, which is to build a Namibia which we want, a Namibia where, citizens are prioritized in Namibia, where industrialization is top notch, and also in Namibia where everybody is happy. And the last time I checked is that our happiness level is not where we want, maybe due to our economic economic needs. However, we need to make sure that after every conversation we bring about those points which can make our leaders to rethink, make our business leaders to rethink, and also to upgrade the thinking of Namibians and also individuals, particularly when it's coming to the economy and also when it's coming to providing direction on policy and development. Zafia, are you there?
I'm right here.
To our dear listeners, before I give Eleni an opportunity to introduce our topic, let's go to a very short commercial break, then we can come right into it.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are The Elsi Nehangano, The Osherero Omaimburiro, The Catholic Simane Kakarunga, The Afrikaans Sing Voor Dieru, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Siwanasha Namibia, Khamberera omwakarunga koe pamwe na Imba. Inokara uri kwanima yesiga. Endera pamwe nethimbo muyuni wo technology. Imonena eimbiro joye mwene kongodhi yoye yopeke pamwe na Imba. Imba oteta pamwe oshigwana nokwaandja gakaneka oondjimbo moshigwana ashihe shaNamibia. Moka epaka Imba otamu adhika ehwata lyoondjimbo dhoongeleka dha yooloka. Ngaashi ehangano lya Elsin, omaimburiro lyoshiherero, Simane Kakarunga lya Katolika Karoma, lyoshimburu Sang Fortier noongeleka dhimwe. Tudengela nena ngele owa pumbwa omaimbiro gongeleka yoye ga kale ga gwedhwa ko. Koka epa ka imbako nora hetatu imwe mbarindatu tano hetatu nora hamano datu nenge ututumine o email ko digital@omalaiti.com. Oto vuru ku adha oka epa ka imbako App Store noko Google Play Store. Imonena imbagoe nena.
Did you know that in Namibia over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative.
So welcome back. And like David said, we would be continuing with our conversation right after that break. And we have been having a conversation about so many things recently, especially in regards to the new government, to the people that are going to be leading us for the next 5 years. And the youngest member of parliament is no exception. And she is the one person that the youth is really, really looking up to and looking forward to see what difference is she going to make in parliament compared to the younger people that came before her.
Yeah.
What is she going to do different? What are going to be her motions? And what is she going to be standing for while she is a part of parliament and while she is a policymaker. So today we are going to look and analyze the maiden speech of Fanny, who is currently the youngest
MP,
member of parliament, and I think, and also the youngest to ever be a member of parliament.
Yeah, it's actually a very good thing. And to our dear listeners, economic direction of the country is shaped by, you know, political decision. And whatever politicians are saying and whatever politicians are standing for, it has a direct and indirect impact to the economy. And yeah, in this regard, we are going to do a comparative analysis, and we need to look at, because, you know, Heleni, whatever you say, when you are in a boardroom, what you say, the words that are coming out of your mouth, they says a lot about what you stand for, they says a lot about your strong point, they says a lot about where you are going, and those who analyze speeches, they can understand and also able to see that this person is saying this because of this. Yeah. And when you are standing in front of people and giving a speech, those who are analyzing are able to say, you are still standing in this platform. And from just a 5-minute speech, you can come up with maybe 30 pages analysis to say, no, Zafia is standing here. It's a corporate person. This is what she means. She specialized here. And this is the direction. And this is what you're going to stand to. Yeah. And that's why when you look at most of the analysts, when they are looking at no presentation of politicians, they are trying to understand what is driving you, what is motivating you when I give you a position, what is motivating you when I'm giving you a power. Yeah, that's why today, to our dear listeners, we are not diverting from our economic discussion. We are just cementing the economic discussion with the points which you are presenting. And yeah, just before we go to dissect of the content of the speech, I think we are going to have a part where we are going to listen to part of the speech, or maybe most of the speech, which is it's around 6 minutes.
Yes.
Then we'll be able now to understand what is the direction, and also what is Fanny Tuchavi, the youngest parliamentarian, standing for, what are some of her strong points, what are some of her strong views, and what does her presence in parliament mean something to young people, and also to people who are sharing the same goals. Just before we go
it's also just for the listeners to be able to follow along, because there are obviously those that did not listen to the speech before this. Perhaps they are a bit, you know, in the air, and they're like, okay, what speech?
Yeah.
What speech is in question? So we are going to have to play a clip of the clip, and then we are going to continue to analyze it and just see, you know, what our future leaders want to bring to the table.
Yeah. And yeah, maybe for those of you, a maiden speech is the first speech that every parliamentarian who's sworn in have to say. And it's a definition of who you are. And those... No, yeah, it's defining. No, it's defining who you are, and you know, it says a lot about where you are going. And for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment. You are listening to Lecture Hall 1. We are doing a political analysis today. We are analyzing the speech of the youngest parliamentarian, and also to analyze what she's saying, where she's going. And also, what is also very interesting is that we also try to do a comparative analysis with other youngest parliamentarians who came before her, what they were saying, what did they achieve, and what are some of the things that need to be done. Yes.
Yes, we are looking forward to actually seeing what was also said.
Yeah.
To be actually executed.
Yeah, to be actually executed. And what assistance does young parliamentarians need? Because Zafia, you can't do anything without the support of others.
Exactly.
Otherwise, your words would just be beautiful words constructed. So, dear listeners, we're going to listen to a speech. Then we can...
Okay, so Secretariat, please look at that. Eh? Okay, you may please proceed. It's a maiden speech.
Thank you for the floor, Honorable Speaker. Honorable Speaker, honorable members of this August House, fellow Namibians watching across the country, on this 9th day of April 2025, I rise once again to appreciate Namibia's commitment to upholding the core values of democracy. I wish to reference the principle of participation which accords me the confidence to stand before this Honorable House. Honorable Speaker, honorable members, my name is Bahimu Afeni Tuchavi. I was born in the Great Kunene region, raised in the mighty Erongo region, and further transcended into my youth in the mighty Comas region. I rise today as a proud daughter of the Namibian soil, called upon to serve under the banner of the mighty Swapo Party and appointed through the visionary, progressive, and forward-striving leadership of Her Excellency Dr. Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah and democratically elected into Parliament by the Namibian nation. Madam President, I cannot but cease to move my deepest gratitude for the trust and confidence you have placed in the youth of this country. Your bold leadership by action and not just by rhetoric reminds every young girl and boy in every dusty street and crowded classroom that their voices matter and their dreams are valid.
Yeah.
Having said this, Honorable Speaker, I wish to put it on record that having, as a young person myself, I have been around, I have seen, and I have heard. I, as a young Namibian, therefore it is with immense pleasure and appreciation to this great call of duty that I wish to say to my constituents that we are still
here. How do we brew the perfect Heineken? At Heineken, we use our five-star brewing process to ensure a unique balanced taste for that refreshing first. Ah, not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
This call is ours, as the great saying goes, each generation out of relative opacity must discover its mission, fulfill it or betray it. Therefore, from the onset, allow me to extend an invitation to my generation to walk this call of duty with me. And by extension, I urge all Namibians to walk this call of national duty with me. Honorable Speaker, Namibia today stands at a critical juncture, a moment where we must ask, what kind of nation are we building for the generations to come? As a member of this esteemed house, I come with no illusions about the magnitude of the task ahead. However, I also come with the unshakable belief that if we lead with values, vision, and vigilance, our country can become a beacon of hope on the African continent. With the recent swearing in of our first ever female president, the limelight is upon us, and the bar has been set high. Honorable members, we ought to rise to the occasion. The Swapo Party government has outlined an ambitious yet necessary set of developmental priorities to be pursued between the period of 2025 and 2030 national development period. These are not just mere promises of the past, they are a blueprint of the future, a future that must be built on the seven pillars priorities. These seven pillars provide a clear direction and a foundation for transformative change and progression, aimed at strengthening social progression and economic stability for a prosperous Namibia. Honorable Speaker, in light of the 2025 national budget, I believe I will not do justice towards the line Minister of Finance and Grants if I fail to recognize the timely tabling of the appropriation bill for consideration. A move well done indeed, Honorable Minister. Honorable Members, in 2024, Namibia was ranked first worldwide in education spending according to the 2024 Global Innovation Index. This year, Honorable Speaker, Namibia's education has been ranked as the third best in Africa and first globally in education expenditure as a percentage of GDP according to the Mo Ibrahim Foundation. Namibia continues to maintain its position as a global leader in education investment. It is commendable that the Ministry of Education, Innovation, Youth and Sports, Arts and Culture continues to receive the largest allocation over 24 billion. This speaks to the government's recognition of education as the cornerstone of national development. It speaks to amplifying the notion that we should never as a country compromise on the imperative role that education plays in nation building. While this allocation is fundamentally well intended, the challenge now lies in the size, not in the size of their location, but in its strategic utilization, Honorable Speaker. Every cent must be traced to a meaningful outcome, be it classrooms that actually have chairs, schools, teachers that are well-trained and motivated, or students who are not just in school but are truly learning. I further note the reintegration of Namibia's Students Financial Assistance Fund back into the Ministry of Education. This shift must translate into a streamlined, transparent, and student-centered funding mechanism aimed at strengthening and enhancing effectiveness for the greater benefit of our student population. Bureaucracy must not steal our students' time or futures. The administration of financial aid must be efficient, equitable, and focused on removing the financial barriers that continue to haunt thousands of bright, disadvantaged students. Our education must be a great equalizer, as our founding father, Dr. Sam Shafishuna Nujoma, believed, may his soul rest in peace. We must confront the uncomfortable truth that thousands of young people find themselves in educational limbo. Let us not confuse pass rates with progress. Let us not settle for structural systems that reward the privileged and punish potential. TVETs must be brought to the same footing as traditional academic paths. The moment we call one formal and the other informal, we already begin to devalue the latter. Sports, Honorable Speaker. The proposed renovation and utilization of our national stadiums do not only serve sports, but the Namibian economy. Home games mean hotel bookings, taxi rides, visa applications, cultural exports, and more. Let us do the math. Let us see the multiplier effect. Renovated stadiums are more than concrete. They are a catalyst for economic revival. Furthermore, the creative industry. It is high time we stop treating the creative industry as a hobby sector. Arts, music, and media are not side hustles. They are industries. They employ thousands, attract international capital, and shape national identity. If properly harnessed, they can stand beside mining, tourism, and agriculture as pillars of GDP growth. Centers such as the College of the Arts, Arts Performance Center, the Project Room, Namibia Craft Center, the National Art Gallery Theatre of Namibia, just to mention a few, are beacons of talent and innovation. Government must invest in expanding and replicating this across all regions and make sure that the creative economy is more accessible and economically viable for more young people. Honorable Speaker, I further welcome the directive issued by the Ministry of Finance and to all offices, ministries and government agencies to allocate a budget line for apprenticeships, internships and government and graduate intensives in the 2025-2027 cycle. But policy alone is not progress. It must be implemented with urgency and resolve. When linked with the youth empowerment pillar, these initiatives have the potential to transform the country's human resource base and reduce youth unemployment in a real sustainable manner. Youth empowerment will no longer be lip service, it will be a national commitment. Honorable Speaker, safety and security must be a central concern for all of us. It pains me deeply to reflect on the recent tragedies that have shocked our nation. A 17-year-old boy, Paulus Kahili, who was brutally murdered in Rundu by two teenagers. The day before yesterday, the day before the other day, we witnessed the horror of an 18-year-old man in Usakos killing six of his own relatives, including four minors. And rape incidents continue to rise across our regions, two having been recent that they have happened over the weekend. These are not isolated crimes. They are indicators of deep-rooted societal distress. We must urgently invest in community policing, youth rehabilitation, mental health care, and a stronger justice system. Safety is not optional, it is a right. Mm-hmm. Honorable Speaker, honorable members, neocolonialism remains a shadow over Africa's development. While we remain grateful for foreign aid and strategic partnerships, Namibia's sovereignty is not for sale. And as honorable members, we have been called upon to defend and protect the Namibian sovereignty. We are a friend to all and an enemy to none. But we trust that we must read between the fine print. Aid must not be agenda-driven, and our policy space must remain Namibian-owned and Namibian-centered. Let us not become vessels of other people's interests under the pretense of cooperation. As Thomas Sankara reminds us, he who feeds you controls you. We must feed ourselves, we must govern ourselves, and we must dream for ourselves. This is a generational call. We the youth are not asking for charity. We will not appreciate tokenism. We are demanding for inclusion and deliberate inclusion, Honorable Speaker. We are not waiting for tomorrow. We are participating today. Once again, it is one thing, Honorable Members, to involve young people in decision-making and transformation. However, it is progressive and youth-centered to have young people driving the transformation and impact of their needs and desires. By way of conclusion, let me say this. I stand here not to be the youngest member of parliament for symbolic purposes, but to make substance out of symbolism. This seat is not mine alone. It belongs to every young Namibian who has ever felt overlooked, underestimated, or unheard. I am here. We are here. The youth are here, and we are ready to build the Namibia we deserve. We have unapologetically arrived, Honorable Speaker. A luta continua, the struggle continues, but this time it is a struggle of excellence aimed at enhancing economic development, social progression, and youth for sustainable development. It will indeed not be business as usual. I thank you, Honorable Speaker.
Wow.
I plead the fifth.
Yes.
Sorry, Eleni, we do not have.
I'm pleading already.
Mm-mm.
No, it does not exist. We cannot plead anything. We are in this together.
Okay, guys, get into it. I'll join later.
I think the speech was very clear. It was very loud. And we are now going to look at the content and also the context. Who is Felipe Chavi? What was the speech about? And maybe what are some of the key points that she is standing for? Just before you jump into it, Zafia, to me, I think it's a well-summarized speech based on the broader context of Namibian problems. And to me, I think it's well-researched. Before we go into it, there is a lot of facts. It's, I'm seeing Global IDEX, not just mere saying. And I'm also seeing, being up to date with what is happening, whether it's current affairs in government, from the budget to the director of Ministry of Finance. And yeah, I'm also seeing not a bit of diplomacy, not a bit of radicalism, but, straightforward in a way that, she is aligning with what a lot of young people are saying. And compared to other maiden speech of other young parliamentarians who came before her, which were into it, I think this is one of the speeches which needs more analysis because it's a lot of things in one. What do you think, Zafia?
I think the speech was powerful.
Yeah.
It wasn't just about making history as the youngest member of parliament.
Yeah.
It was about making a statement. Honorable Fenny reminded us that youth representation isn't about filling quotas.
Mm-hmm.
It's about actively shaping the policies that affect young people every day.
Okay. Yeah?
And she brought real issues to the forefront. Education.
Yeah.
Youth unemployment. Safety, and even the creative economy, and spoke to them with clarity, urgency, and vision.
Okay. Yeah, this is one thing I want to look into the speech. There's one thing I want to look at, because she spoke something apart from now. Problems of young people. She spoke something about Namibians not being influenced by, you know, external factors. To say foreign aids must not be used to drive agendas. And I think, compared to different youngest parliamentarians, I think she stood out to be a bit of Pan-Africanist, because I also see that,
she referenced, Sankara.
Yeah, she's referencing Sankara, and she's of a different thinking to say, let us empower, Namibian people, maybe African young people, but let us not be controlled by external forces. Because she talked about our international relation policy also, to say, if you have friends from the outside, does not mean that your friends should tell you what to do, which means that you end up feeding other people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this is a speech to look at, but it's also something that we need to look at when it comes to implementation of
the practicality of it.
The practicality of it. But one thing that I also want to look at is that how are the members of parliament getting? How are they viewing her? It's also very important, because you saying something right, honest, at time well calculated and well researched is one thing, then how the majority of the people accept you.
Yeah.
Because we have been saying a lot of things to say, no, young people must be given an opportunity. But do you really accept young people who, when they stand or they sit on that table, or you just put them to be there to be just a face? Because are they listening to what she's saying? Are they willing to take something from her, or there is a perception to say, no, Zafia is young, Zafia just came in now, and she already found us here, others also came, and this is what we are going to do.
You know, when you put it that way, I cannot really say...
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHB on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Lenny?
Okay, so before I forget what I was gonna say, in this particular case, when you say, do they put young people there for just the face, or are they put them for implementation and change?
Yeah.
There's two sides to the coin.
Yeah.
First of all, it could be for implementation and change.
Yeah.
First of all, it could be to appease the majority.
Yeah.
Actually, secondly, but also when you look at it, and when you look at the presentations and the research that is done by this particular young people, and you revisit the manifestos that came before that.
Yeah.
And like currently there's the SWAPO implementation manifesto.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at it.
Yeah.
And you look at what the members of parliaments are saying, especially those from within SWAPO, you would come to the realization that most of their speeches align with that manifesto. Mm. So already, we do not know where to draw the line to say it's the specific individual, pushing the load, or it's the specific individual pushing the load off the party as a whole.
Yeah, the party agenda.
Yes, of the party agenda as a whole.
Yeah.
So yes, we do need young people in policy, making spaces.
Yeah.
But to what extent, do their opinions stand alone?
Yeah.
You know, like, I need you to be able to stand as David Shombe.
Yeah.
Not David Shombe, comma, Eagle FM.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So, we need to look at it from both sides to say, yes, you have this brilliant idea.
Yeah.
You have plans.
Yeah.
You are on the ground. You are experiencing what other young people are experiencing.
Mm.
You have experienced the student struggles. You have experienced the late night drives from varsity.
Yeah,
and we know, and we know how unsafe that is.
Yeah.
Just to get yourself from school home, getting on a cab, a lot happens on a daily basis. You know, she emphasized on safety. She emphasized on all those things. And these are things we know on the ground. These are things we report on a daily basis. So we know these are first-hand Namibian problems that we are experiencing. Yes, now there is someone to put them out there at a bigger platform to say, yes, this is what we are going through. But we have known this is what we are going through. Now the question is implementation. The practicality of being able to implement what was just said. Are we going to see the results? That is where my question is. No, because this is a brilliant speech. It's well written. It's well punctuated.
Yeah.
It's well researched. Now we have to wait for implementation. Implementation is where we have to see, will the government meet this young person halfway and, you know, try to meet the youth dream halfway, like try to meet the Namibian child's dream halfway of, you know, proper education through NSFAF, safety through cases such as, you know, the killing comes to an end, gender-based violence,
creative industry.
The creative industry, which is something very close to my heart.
But it's not the hassle.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
And that's something that is like really close to my heart and it's sensitive to me. And I get so pissed because you would get someone in. You're like, please make for me a poster. You're like, okay, that will be $200. Ah, it's just a poster. No, most of the time I'm like, okay, fine, do it. It's most just do it.
Yeah.
So the creative industry is looked down upon so much that it's not going anywhere.
There's a caller.
Sharp. Yeah, they'll come back now.
You can call back at 083-288-401.
Okay, but let me finish so I give Zafia a chance also.
Okay.
So also, it's the creative industry, it's the sports industry. And I've had so many creative industry conversations on here.
Yeah.
Because it's something that could benefit us so much. And I don't understand where as Namibians, where as Africans we are. Actually, let me say as Namibians.
Yeah.
Because even South Africa's entertainment industry is doing good. In the US, like, they are one of their biggest driving, factors is the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
Like about, speaking under correction, but the last time I checked, it was like about 20% was coming from entertainment.
No, it's entertainment.
To the GDP of the country, of the whole country. Guys.
Right. Because most
how much do our people even make out of, what is that called? NASCOM royalties.
No, something was just unveiled. Something was just revealed to say that there was money moving around, but people were not being paid for that.
Exactly.
And, you know, you made a very, very strong point, but finish. Please.
Yeah, so like I'm saying, she is holding the water right now.
Yeah.
The water is clean from where I'm standing.
Mm-hmm.
But whether we will be able to drink it by the time she gets it to us or not, that's a different conversation. If infrastructure with the sports happened and our home games were played here, we all know the magnitude, the difference it would make. We spoke about it the other day and I referenced back to games that we're here, 2017, 2019.
Yeah.
2017, I think. And I referenced back and we saw what that did to our economy. So imagine if these things were fixed and this was now a constant, stream of income where our games were are constantly being played at home. And when I say home, I mean home,
home
guys.
Home.
I don't mean other home.
Yeah.
So those are my 2 cents for now.
Yeah, I think, Zafia?
Well, I probably share the sentiments of Heleni.
Okay.
Honorable Fenny's speech doesn't explicitly outline concrete actions. Like, I heard, she said, Heleni said, we all know what she addressed.
Yeah.
We are all well aware of the issues our country is facing.
Yeah.
While the speech was emotionally charged and inspiring, I do feel it lacked concrete as to how she will actually play her part in this.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's not a one-man show, but to some degree of saying, this is how I will involve myself, or this is how I will take accountability, responsibility, and action, you understand? It's good to say what's wrong in someone else's house, no?
Yeah.
Or what's wrong, what do you see wrong? But it's not just for us to say what we see wrong. It's about how are we going to do it right. And I know it's a collective action. It's not, we're not, I'm not, I'm putting her on the stand because she put herself on the stand.
Yeah.
So critiquing it from a point of view of saying, this is what she said. How is she going to? Because you mentioning safety and security.
How are we going to do it?
How are we going to do it?
No, it's actually a very good question.
And I'm
because,
not asking her how she's going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm asking everyone else that are policy makers, that are action, basically, we can help them.
Yeah.
But what are they willing to do for us to help them? You understand?
I hear you.
We've been hearing a lot of manifestos. We have been hearing a lot of actions brought forth. We've been hearing a lot of speeches.
Mm-hmm.
But my concern is only, when are we starting with the implementation? We've been hearing so much, but when is it going to be happening? When are we going to get our hands dirty?
Yes. And look, let me just take you back, especially when it comes to the examples of the safety part that we're given, who was killed to gender-based violence, kids are being raped and killed. 2019, that was our last election, right? And
before last year.
Eh? Yeah, before last year.
Yeah.
No, this ones, they are brand new.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
No, I hear you.
Like, I mean, it was the government before this one.
Okay, okay.
So in 2019, a child went missing. Spencer.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot the surname.
Mandela.
But, yeah, Spencer Mandela went missing. And up until now, that case is unresolved. Nobody was ever recovered. No one ever came forth to say, this is what happened. And there's still a mother out there that has never buried a child, who does not know what it's like to let go, because you need to, what I understand by grieving is, you need to grieve and then let go.
Yeah.
But what is she letting go of if she is not even aware of this person is still alive? She did not get that, that's something, man, to get closure. She does not have that closure. And these are things that we know from back then.
Yeah.
They are not starting today. They did not start last year during last year's elections.
Yeah.
They've always been there. And that is where my question is to say, practicality, implementation, how are you going to make sure every student is getting the financial assistance they need?
Yeah.
How are you going to make sure the creative industry is getting the recognition they need, that artists are paid what they are worth, not what is in your pocket, and they just take it because they have no other way to make money.
Yeah, they are getting paid on stage.
Yes.
They are getting paid at the bar.
You are paying people like this because that is the tradition that is currently existing.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you going to make sure, what methods do you have in place to make sure this current tradition dies out and is replaced by a new one?
I think it's a good thing, it's a good thing to hold our parliamentarians accountable. And Fanny is not an exception. Because one thing that she mentioned is that we are here. It means that when you are there, you represent all the young people. And I want to comment on what Irene have said about the safety. When Spencer got missing, how many young parliamentarians stood up to a minister of safety to say, no, young people are dying, there's nothing being solved? How many of young people stood up and spoke, or maybe come up with actions, because you are closer to power, ne?
Mm-hmm.
You can influence decisions, because being an MP, you are not just an MP to speak, but you can influence power by, you talk to the Minister of Safety, give questions. Just before you come in.
On the topic of safety.
Yeah.
Security.
Yeah.
How many people, let me say, of one event that I can actually remember very well.
Yeah.
There was a small young girl that was picked up by someone that she wasn't supposed to be picked up from school.
Yeah.
I think the school's name was Blank Uchis.
Okay.
And someone picked her up. I don't know how the school released that child to that. Apparently the child was familiar. I don't know how schools does that.
Yeah,
just because you're familiar with someone, they released you into that person's care. The child was molested.
Okay.
The child was found at the bar. Someone actually saw the child because the child was on social media.
Okay.
And, but when they actually went back, this person was released on the charges of rape, you know?
The person was released?
Yeah, like he was released and they was allowed, probably relatives, I'm just speaking under correction, but that's what I read in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
and also heard from other people that he was actually released because he probably served his sentence. I don't know. You know, people don't serve long sentences for rape in our country.
Just before we go to that, Tene, safety is something which was supposed to be prioritized, especially, you can talk about, I don't want to talk about young girls. Everyone is not safe in Namibia, young people. Everyone is not safe. But what are the young parliamentarians doing? Because these are the people that we need to hold accountable. I want to give an example. There's one young parliamentarian who went there, and because of time, I will not talk about the maiden speech.
Mm-hmm.
Then the maiden speech was very powerful. Then Patience Maswa is a public figure.
Mm-hmm.
Then she ended up in a conversation, which I don't have a problem with. She was so strong at human rights and marriage affairs.
Mm.
That was the context. But when she got there, she said, no, I'm going to defend all the 121 constituencies where young people are. We are within 121 constituencies in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to represent them. But leaving us young people struggling in the street, fighting about youth unemployment, safety, NASAF and what, then become a center of human rights discussion and marriage. To me, it was, I don't know how to say it was a betrayal. It was, you prioritized what was not supposed to be prioritized.
Yeah.
That's why we need to make sure that whoever is going to represent us, we must hold this person accountable.
Yes, you are very right. But, but it also comes down to patience. The patient of patient, not patient killing,
oh, okay.
But just the
patience. I hear you.
This patient of, you know, the oomph to do something.
Oh, okay.
Need to be interested in a certain narrative.
Yeah.
So you are able to push it to the best of your ability.
Mm.
So if even as a parliamentarian, and I am not calling anyone a rapist, guys. Bear with me.
Yeah.
But for example, you are a parliamentarian and you are a rapist.
Yeah.
There is no way on God's green earth that you will stand up and move motions against rapists because it does not align with you. If you are for other things, maybe you are for agriculture.
Yeah.
You will move motions in the agriculture sector, but you will not move motions that are not, you know, that don't bring you that excitement.
No,
so it's also a matter of what are the young people representing us interested in?
Mm-hmm.
They need to be interested in something that interests the rest of the youth so that the youth can benefit from it. Otherwise, you cannot benefit from it.
But you know, this was supposed to be your blueprint to say what you say at the beginning is what you are going to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you say you're going to build 25 houses, then you start constructing roads and bridges, then you are the problem. Do what you say.
David, even with my salary right now, I'm telling myself, the day it comes is not what you do, man.
but there's a certain direction. There's a certain direction to say you may end up doing even 60% at least.
Yeah,
don't lose focus on what you are, we are not demanding to say whatever you said. We understand how politics is working. Whatever you say, you are going to do it. At least try to leave a print to say one day Zafia was in parliament. This is what she was standing for. She moved a certain motion. This is what she said. This is what she prioritized.
Mm-hmm.
Then at least there is something.
Yes.
But if you say something, then all of a sudden you focus on other areas. Then
you say a lot of things and do none.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And that is why I'm saying it here today, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
On an open platform. I'm challenging you guys and the listeners and the youth at home.
Yeah.
I'm challenging everyone to hold our leaders accountable.
Yeah.
You know, when you meet them, because you don't really get to meet them, but when you meet them in Pharaohs, ask them, Meima, remember when you were telling us A, B, C, and D?
Where are we?
Where are we with that implementation? You know, wait for them at the door and then you pull them aside and say, before you go start your night, tell me, where are we with that implementation plan?
Come on
here and let's, tell us, where are you?
One.
Yeah. you know, when they have their political events happening, even if you don't belong to that party, go and ask for questions.
Yeah,
ask.
It's
hold
your right.
People accountable. It's your right.
Yes. Dear listeners, for the sake of time and for us not to be beaten by Uncle Fly and Tati Lavanda, I think we have come to the end of our program. Maybe just 2 seconds. Zafia and Eleni. From my side, I'm good. And,
And My 2 seconds are that I am glad we are having these conversations.
Yeah.
I hope the conversation can continue.
Yeah.
But I hope even more that it will have fruitful results.
Yeah.
That we can see, and not just to continue talking about the same problems that we have spoken for the last 10 years.
Yes. Thank you very much, dear listeners.
I thank you guys. I think.
Yeah.
Sorry. Hey, yeah. The words.
Yeah.
I think you guys said it all.
Okay, dear listeners, see you tomorrow, same time, same place.
Have a good night.
Shab shab.
Ciao.